Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Hope everyone had a meaningful Yom Tov and an uplifting Chag HaPesach. And now we are in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer and Be'ezer Hashem, Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. I learned many years ago that Iyar stands for Ani Hashem Rufa'echa, Aleph Yod Yod Reish. Aleph is Ani, Yod 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 Hashem Hashem, and Reish Ani Hashem Rufa'echa. So Hashem should be our ultimate healer for all our physical, spiritual, emotional, galistic ailments that befall us. We are learning as always, the Zeichu Nishmas and the Ilui Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShem. Neshama should continue to merit a Zuchos Aliyah Neshama and Zechira Latova from the merit of the Divrei Torah that we share, the Zeichu Nishmas. And of course, we thank the Fron family very, very much for their unwavering, stellar commitment all these years to the perpetuation of these Divrei Torah. Okay, so we haven't learned for a little while because of the Chag, Yom Tov, Chalamai Baruch Hashem. So I'm just going to go back. We're not going to go back far at all because we actually started a new section before we came. Remember, there was contemplation when eating. There was contemplation when going to tefillah. We are in the section called Contemplation when Approaching Torah Study. So I actually left myself a note in my sefer. I had to do that before my shiur broke because I would have to remember where we're up to. I left myself a note, asterisk after Pesach, exactly where we're up to. So I remember exactly where we left off. If anybody remembers, we're in the middle of a piece by the Chafetz Chaim. I don't know if anyone remembers, an essay, a beautiful piece by the Chafetz Chaim, which is where we are going to resume. I marked exactly where we're up to. But what we are going to do is just go back to the beginning of, it's only two paragraphs back. And I'm not going to do the same insights that we spoke about already because that would be superfluous, even though you can't compare what you learn 100 times to what you learn 101 times. But nevertheless, we're up to contemplation when approaching Torah study. So what we're speaking about is just contemplating. Before we do anything in life in the realm of Avodas Hashem, a person should think, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this action? What kavano should I have? How will it better me as a person? How will it improve my life as a Jew? So contemplation when approaching Torah study. Okay. During your hour of contemplation, you should also consider if you want to learn Torah. You should ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or not? You know, and I found with my shiur, which we resume Monday morning, Baruch Hashem, today is Wednesday evening, they resume Monday morning, and I just, you know, after shiur, like the first shiur, the second shiur, you don't, you realize like how much you miss it when you go back to the learning. And yes, Yom Tov is beautiful, and Baruch Hashem for the, you know, Zman Chirusein on the calendar, of course, but I just find someone said to me after my Monday morning 9 a.m. class, she said, we miss it because we need it. I said, I think it goes hand in hand. Because we need it, we miss it. And because we miss it, we need it. So in order to stay really meaningfully connected to the Ribono Shel Olam and to Torah and to Yahadus and to have purpose in what we do need to stay connected. And it's a fact. It's a very famous mashal. Everyone knows it. It's not a chiddush. Even Rabbi Zavlev tells it about the escalator. You're either going up or you're going down. So we need to have contemplation to make sure that we're always going up or rising higher in our levels of Avodas Hashem. So during your hour of contemplation, you should also consider if you want to learn Torah. Ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or don't I want to learn Torah? The answer to this too is not definite. Sometimes maybe you do and sometimes maybe you don't. And then if you don't, you should say to yourself, why don't I? This is a review. We did this already. There can be various reasons. First of all, you might be too lazy to exert your mind or body. Maybe you're not in the mood. You want to take a nap. Or you might prefer to fulfill your desires somewhere else rather than learning Torah. I'd rather do something else. And this way you should clarify the reasons why you do not want to learn. And we spoke about it, if anyone remembers, I'm not going through it again, but the difference between the Berkas HaTorah and the Berkas HaMazon. These are the only two brachos that are de'oraisa, v'chal de'vesavat v'rach, that's Hashem el-kacha. That is Devar and Paraches, Pasuk Yod. And then from Ha'azinu, we have Havu Gadala Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Gadala Kenu, which is the Berkas HaTorah. And one, we make the bracha before the action, Berkas HaTorah, and one, we make the bracha after the action, Berkas HaMazon. We spoke about the difference why. Okay, after that, you should consider, we did that already, I'm not reviewing it. After that, you should consider why you do want to learn. So if you don't want to learn, you should analyze why you don't want to learn. And if you do want to learn, you should analyze why you do want to learn. There may be various reasons. First of all, you might be afraid being punished in Gehenim if you violate the laws that you didn't study. So if you don't know Basar B'Cholav, and if you don't know the laws of Shabbos, if you don't know the laws of Pesach, then you might be afraid of being punished in Gehenim if you don't know the proper halachos. So in other words, you want to study the halachos, so you're not punished. You might be afraid of violating the mitzvah to learn Torah. Now that is specifically for men, because men have a mitzvah to be Kovei Itim for the purpose of being Kovei Itim in and of itself. We have to learn in order to maintain a connection, in order to know what to do. But men have a mitzvah not only to learn in order to do and to learn in order to connect, but they have a mitzvah just to learn for the sake of learning Lishma. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos Shavas Lamed Aleph that that's one of the questions they will be asked in the Olam HaEmes, Kavata Itim LaTorah. That you establish set side. So the idea of Kvius, it's not just the learning, but the idea of a set time for Torah learning, to be Koveya an ace, Koveya Itim LaTorah. So you might be afraid of violating the mitzvah that you didn't learn Torah, and you're afraid of being punished. You might be embarrassed of being considered an ignoramus if everyone else in your shul knows it's, you know, the daf, or everyone knows the parsha, everyone knows the Mishnah Yomi, and you don't. Maybe you're going to be considered an ignoramus. You might also seek honor for reaching a certain level of Torah scholarship. You want people to say how amazing you are, how much you know in Torah scholarship. Each person is unique. So in other words, he's saying these are obviously very superficial, totally not lishma reasons for wanting to learn Torah. The real reason we should want to learn Torah is because Yisrael, I should want to learn Torah because I want to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Torah is part of me. If Torah is an emanation from God, Yisrael Arayis HaKadosh HaBichu Chadhu, and it's one part of God, and I am part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're all connected, I want to access my very inner essence. So these are all superficial reasons, and they are certainly not the most pure reasons for wanting to learn. Each person is unique, and you should continue searching until you discover the deepest reason, which is, finally, I want to learn because Hashem said I should. So a person should want to learn Torah because Torah is the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the word of God, and if you want to have a meaningful life, I was just speaking to somebody today, a social worker who deals with the older population, and she said there's a concept called making life meaningful, that when people age, it's extremely important to ensure that there's a purpose, that they have, that they feel that there's a meaning in their life, that there's something meaningful that they can accomplish that day. And the truth is, it's not only true of older people. It's true of everybody at every age and every stage. We have to make meaning in life. Why am I here? What can I accomplish while I'm here? What did I do today that was meaningful? So ultimately, I want to learn because Hashem said I should. So if we access the wisdom of Torah, we will always be doing something to access Ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Remember, this whole section is Ratzonenu La'aso Ratzoncha. Our will is to do Yira. Then when you start learning, you should turn to Hashem. And you should say, Master of the world, Ribbono Shel Olam, it is clear to me that deep down my neshama really wants to learn Torah, even though I don't feel this Ratzon. So turn to Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that when he learned, it was as if he felt the presence, the hand of their God upon his shoulder. The Rambam would come into the room and there would be Tosfos. And the Rav has a beautiful piece where he says how the Rishonim and Chazal and the Rishonim and the Achronim would all come into the room one at a time and defend their positions. That's how real Torah learning was to him. So if you should turn to Hashem. Hashem is right there with you. The great Ragachagavar Gaon famously said, it says brought down in great Jewish sayings, but in other places as well, that when you daven, you're talking to Hashem, but when you learn Torah, Hashem is talking to you. So ultimately, if you want to forge a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, we need to focus on Tefillah, and we also need to focus on Limud HaTorah. It's the word of Hashem. How are you going to discover the Ribbono Shel Olam in your life if you do not study his instruction book? That's what Torah means. The word Torah does not mean teacher. It means instruction. Torah, Mora, Hora'ah. Kimitzi and Teitzei Torah. Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that's exactly right. From Tzion comes forth instruction as to how a person should live his life, and the word of God from Yerushalayim. So master of the world, you should say when you're learning, it's clear to me that deep down my neshama really wants to learn Torah, even though I might not feel this Ratzon, that is going back to Ritzonenu Laso Ritzoncha. Our will is really to do Yorah. That's from Maseches Brachos Yud Zayin Amph, which we've quoted multiple times over the past few months, because every one of these aspects, whether it's the eating, or the tefillah, or the limud Torah, all goes back to, despite what my outer ratzon is, my inner desire is really to do the will of God. The level of the neshama really wants to do the will of God. Okay, so we are in the middle of a piece by the Chofetz Chaim. I marked down exactly where we're up to, and I'm going to screen share. If it's fine, if you're here, I'm just using it instead of having the book, it's here. But if you're here, I'm reading and explaining. Okay. The Chofetz Chaim is talking about, this is from the Sefer the Chofetz Chaim by Rabbi M.M. Yashar. It's a beautiful biography / it's more than a biography. Life story, life works, many Torah lessons from the Chofetz Chaim. You could see that it doesn't look like the biographies today. It's actually an art school biography, but it's not like the biographies today, which I enjoy very much, and I read them, but the pages are bigger, and the words are more spaced, and there's less words per page. This is like, I don't know, SD Klein, you read it, right? Almost 600 pages, I think, yeah? And you see that the words are small, and they're very close together, and there's a lot of words per page. So if you're looking for something that might take you a few months, I highly recommend it. It's Art School by M.M. Yashor, Y-O-S-H-O-R. It's called the Chofetz Chaim. It's amazing. The life and ideas and lessons of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Cohen Kagan of Radin. So we did the beginning, and he's talking about accessing or learning, acquiring Torah. Okay? To sum up the acquisition of these two things, we did this already. I actually marked down where we were up to. To sum up regarding the acquisition of these two things, acquisition of what? On the one hand, a person must acquire Torah. And on the other hand, the person must acquire Yiras Shamayim, Rav and Fear of Heaven. They ultimately go hand in hand. If you're going to acquire Torah by osmosis, you're going to become a person who's a Yiras Shamayim. And if you have Yiras Shamayim, it means you have to have Torah. So they're not two separate things. They're really two things that are one and the same, or two sides. They're well connected. If you become a person of Torah, you're going to automatically come to Yiras Shamayim. You'll appreciate with great awe, with great reverence, more and more of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more you learn. An obligation lies on a person to act concerning them as he would regarding a material acquisition. He gives a very interesting mashal. The Chofetz Chaim says, how should you seek to acquire Torah? How far should you go to seek Yiras and acquire Yiras Shamayim? As you would concerning a material acquisition. Now you may think that's a demeaning. What kind of mashal is that? I'm going to run after Torah more than I'm going to run after a material acquisition. I'm going to run after Yiras Shamayim more than materiality. But the truth is, if somebody told you, not a fake, not a story, not a fairy tale. If you walk, I don't know, walk an hour, whatever it is, I don't know, you're going to get to a certain house. Here's the combination. There's $1 million in gold bars waiting for you on the table. It's yours. There's no catch. It's a real thing. You wouldn't walk an hour, even if it was 100 degrees. You would take some water bottles. You would find out the rest up on the way where you could refill them. You would, because it's a material acquisition that you're interested in acquiring. An obligation lies in a person to act concerning Torah and Yiras Shamayim as he would act regarding a material acquisition. A human being, says the Chofetz Chaim, is not content to make do with what he has. No matter what he has, he always aspires and strives to obtain more and more. So we're not talking about Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. We're not talking about the Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzaddikim Akdoshim Levracha. We're talking about the Hamon Am. Most of us are not Rav Steinman or Robertson Bat Sheva, who the fridge wasn't even in the kitchen because it was so small. Most of us are the Hamon Am. And the way of life is, as the Pasuk tells us, Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef. One who loves money will never be satisfied with money. It's from Kohelas, Perkei Pasuk Tes. So Kohelas, Shlomo, in his great wisdom, Kohelas was composed. He left us three works, Shir HaShirim, Mishle, and Kohelas. Kohelas was written towards the end of his life, and he realized that life is all vanity of vanities. And Kohelas tells us, Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef. Someone who loves money will never be satisfied. Why? Because he always wants more. That's exactly right. Interestingly, whoever says I have enough, everyone always wants more. Rashi interprets, interestingly, one who loves mitzvos, Rashi says on Kohelas, I didn't look up Rashi, it's brought down by the Chofetz Chaim, but Rashi's pshat is one who loves mitzvos will not be satisfied. He'll always want more and more, which is a beautiful interpretation. You know, for example, a person who's a real baal or baalas chesed, I know someone like this, they're always looking for opportunities to do more and more chesed. They are never satisfied. I'm talking about a real, real baalas chesed. They're never satisfied with the level that they're on. They're always seeking to do more. Whatever they do is never enough. So Rashi says, Ohid kesef lo yispa kesef. We're really talking about someone who loves mitzvos. One who loves mitzvos will not be satisfied because Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos, which we just started reading this past Shabbos. We read Pirkei Aleph for Shabbos after Pesach. We read Pirkei Avos. And the Mishnah tells us, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. That's exactly right. So really, the reward for doing one mitzvah is that you want to do another mitzvah. If a person has 100, he wants 200, we're talking about material acquisition. So a man must strive and exert himself to rise from level to level in Torah learning. And reverent fear, meaning Yiras Shamayim. So just like a person would run after, if you have 100, you want 200. And he would certainly run after 1 million gold bars. If it's only an hour walk away, it's not so far. It's in the house. There's no catch. It's yours. You could take it. So too, when it comes to the level of Torah learning, you should never say, I finished. I learned enough. Why? The Torah is so vast There's no end to what can be acquired in Torah. There's no end to the godless, to the insights, to the remuzim, to the sodos, to the pshat, to the drush, to the musar haskel, to the application in our lives. It's literally endless. Torah is endless, beyond. We can't understand what it means. You could learn your whole life and you could never be finished learning. An example of that is Avdil from us to someone like this, but an example is Rav Chaim Kanievsky, someone who learned his entire life. So why was he still learning? You should stop learning. You finished learning. No, you never finished learning, because there's always new chedushim. There's always new something that comes out. And that's how we should feel about Torah and mitzvos and Yiras Shamayim. The same way we feel about acquiring another sweater, another skirt, another, dress, another pair of shoes. The same way we feel about acquiring material possessions. Spring has come, you want something fresh, it's nice, you should feel good. You have to look like a Bas Yisrael, you should be beautiful. But on the other hand, that is how we should really feel when it comes to Torah. You should never say, I learned this already, I'm finished, I'm done with Shir, I filled my quota. It's not like that. In reality, even this isn't enough, says the Chofetz Chaim. There's one more step you should be willing to take. And that addresses something that's very, very relevant to everybody, because everyone has a Yetzer Hara. If he should fall, heaven forbid, from his spiritual level, okay? So the first thing you have to know is, and where are we up to in our Sefer? Contemplation when approaching Torah study. We're up to in the Sefer that a person should ultimately search until he discovers the deepest reason. I want to learn because Hashem said I should. So this excerpt from the Chofetz Chaim is really speaking about this idea of how much we should want to learn Torah. Well, first we've established you should run after Torah learning and Yerushalayim, Chesed HaMaisim Tovim, like you run after money, okay? But now, let's say, and this is something that everybody faces because there's no one who doesn't have a Yetzer Hara. If he should fall, heaven forbid, from his spiritual level and lose his spiritual wealth and attainment, sometimes it happens, chas v'shalom, terrifying thought. For whatever reason, if a person doesn't keep learning, it's almost impossible. That goes back to Eskei Mashal. It's really, mamish, almost impossible. If a person does not keep learning, it's really almost the natural consequence is that you can't keep your level. It's really almost impossible. For whatever reason, Yetzer Hara might get in the way. There's many pulls in society today. He convinces us to do things we shouldn't be doing. It's possible that he should fall, heaven forbid, from his spiritual level. We all have a Yetzer Hara. No one could say, I'm exempt. And what happens if he loses his spiritual wealth? What if he loses his spiritual attainments? So what should a person do now? He should not become downcast, and he should not give way to despair. That's the greatest tactic of the Yetzer Hara, that he makes you give way to despair and that you feel downcast about yourself. Remember I told you a couple of months ago, someone shared with me a very beautiful verse. I told it to you. I'm going to repeat it. We just repeated it. My son and I just repeated it over Shabbos because the Dvar Torah was set at the table. And my son said, it reminds him of that Dvar Torah. What the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer Tov tells you after sin. And what the Yetzer Tov tells you before sin is what the Yetzer Hara tells you after sin. What's the pshat? Before you sin, the Yetzer Hara says, it's just one sin. No one's paying any attention. God doesn't care. You could still be close to him. It's just one sin. And the Yetzer Hara says, Gaval, don't do it. One sin. You know how far you're going to be from Hashem? Don't do it. Then you do the sin. After the sin, the Yetzer Hara says, what were you thinking? You're so far from God. How could you have done that? And the Yetzer Tov says, it's just one sin. You can come back. Hashem still wants a relationship with you. But like my son added, but don't do the sin. Which is true. My son added that this Shabbos. But I thought it was just so powerful. Because if you're acquainted with your Yetzer Hara, it's really true. Before sin, he says, what's the big deal? It's just one small thing. God still wants a relationship. The Yetzer Tov says, don't do it. Danger. Warning ahead. Slow down. After, the Yetzer Tov says, it's okay, it was one sin, Hashem still loves you, you're still his child, you could come back and do teshuva, but like my son Shmuel says, but don't do the sin. And the Yetzer Hara says, one sin? You know what you just did with your relationship with Hashem? You severed the whole thing. So therefore, this idea of downcast and despair is really a tool of the Yetzer Hara. Because once you do the sin, or you fall from your spiritual level, you stop going to shir, you stop learning, you feel yourself sliding, what does the Yetzer Hara say? You see? I knew you couldn't keep up with it. I knew you didn't have the commitment or the tenacity. Now look what you are. No one wants to hear from you. God's not interested. He makes you give way to despair. Do you feel you could never rise up again? No, says the Chofetz Chaim, you should act as you would in material matters. If affairs of business and trade faltered, okay, a person's business collapsed, God forbid, and he lost his money, he would go back. He needs money to live. So he would go back and he would start a new business, or he would switch enterprises. Even if he was on the lowest rung of the business ladder, he would still continue to climb back to something respectable because he understands that he needs money to live. So in some way, he's going to go, even if it's not what he trained in, even if it's not his original profession, he needs something else to do because otherwise he's not going to be able to live. He's going to starve. Oh, that's exactly what it is in Ruchnias. So if we understood that we could not live without Ruchnias, we cannot live without Torah, without mitzvahs, without gemilas chasadim, without tefillah. So yes, it's true. Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner's famous letter, Pachad Yitzchak, to the Talmud who fell. It's true that sometimes we're going to fall. Sometimes maybe more than we want, we're going to fall. And the Yetzer Hara is going to get in the way. And it's a constant battle, but Hashem also created the Yetzer Hara, Barasi Yetzer Hara. Ah, exactly right. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi L'Torah Tavlin. I created the Yetzer Hara, but I also created the Torah, which is the antidote, the anti-venom to the Yetzer Hara. So it's true, we're going to sometimes fall, but if a person didn't have money, he would do whatever he could to make money, because otherwise he's going to die. That's how it is in Ruchnias. A person has to understand that if he's living a life void of Torah and mitzvos, he's going to spiritually wither away and die. But don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you, give in to despair. Don't let him say that after the sin. Listen to the Yetzer Tov. It's just one sin. You shouldn't do it. It's true, but Hashem still wants you. You're very valuable. Okay, now the Chofetz Chaim continues this heartfelt Musar talk with not a mashal, but an example from an actual occurrence. Okay, so this is a story that the Chofetz Chaim related to illustrate his point. There was a young man who had been very industrious, and he was a conscientious student in the yeshiva. So it was a big masmid. Okay? So there was a yeshiva, this man was a student in the Radin yeshiva, and he was really a big masmid. Masmid comes from the word tamid, by the way. I only learned that like a couple years ago. A number of years ago. Masmid is from the word tamid. If you didn't know that, I didn't know it a few years ago, then I learned it. Masmid is from the word, I don't know what I thought the word masmid was, I guess I didn't know. Masmid is from the word tamid, as in Shivisi Hashem the Negdi Tamid. A masmid describes someone who is tamid, standing with Hashem before him always. He's learning, so he recognizes that God is before him always and consistently. Okay, interesting. A young man, and someone told me, I'm not a frequent flyer, unfortunately, but El Al, does anyone fly El Al frequently? El Al frequent flyer points are called Matmid. Yeah, you're aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I could say Lahavda. On the other hand, it's not Lahavda, it's Zocha. Halavai, we should so be Zocha to be flying so regularly to Eretz Yisrael that I should be part of their Matmidim points. And we should try or to be, I know we're women learning, but we should certainly place Hashem before us always and consistently. Okay. A young man who had been very industrious, and he was a conscientious student in the yeshiva, he got married. Eventually, the burden of raising a family and taking care of business affairs compelled him to give up, and he couldn't spend time anymore in Torah study. He had too much achrayus and too many responsibilities. One day, the Chofetz Chaim met him, and I guess they were speaking, and he told him that his study program, the Chofetz Chaim gave him musar. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, just because you find it hard to continue studying Torah, as you used to, with such diligence, how could you abandon it completely? It's because you can't do something. Why did you stop totally? You should at least join a study group, said the Chofetz Chaim in the show, that learns a folio, a daf of Gemara every day, or a chapter in Mishnayos. Anything. As long as you do not go without any Torah study. Now, Tamas, but if you tell someone who's really a stark learner, you know, learn one chapter Mishnayos, what are they going to say? Are you serious? You know how much I used to learn? That's exactly what the Talmud is going to answer the Chofetz Chaim. I can't learn that. That's embarrassing for someone like me. Daf Yomi, or my husband does Amud Yomi Baruch Hashem, that's for the working people. I used to be a masmid. That's all I should learn? So the Chofetz Chaim said, quote, anything. As long as you don't go without any Torah study at all. Because what happens if you stop studying at all? The escalator is going down, 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 down. The young man replied apologetically, and he said, this kind of paltry Torah study is not for me. I was accustomed to studying 10 hours a day. I learned 20 dapim of Talmud intensively, 20 blot intensively. I had a profound grasp of the material, Tosfos, Rashi, the Gemara, the commentaries, the Marashah. Is there any worth learning one chapter of Mishnah for someone like me? Or one page of Gemara? One page of Talmud, it says. What value would that have in my eyes? I would rather wait till I can succeed in getting free of my business affairs. And then I'll return to diligent study as I used to do in years gone by. What happens if you do that? By the time you're free of your business affairs, either it's going to be 120 years, or by that time your Yetzer Tov is going to have been vanquished, and it's going to be very, very hard to go back to anything. But this is what the former Bacha said to the Chavetz Chaim. When I go back to my business affairs and I finish with them, then I'll go back to our study. Me, it's beneath me to learn one Mishnah, one chapter Mishnah, is two Mishnahs a day. My husband does Mishnah Yomi also. I think it's two Mishnahs a day. So I should learn two Mishnahs a day. That's when people go to work. And Chavetz Chaim responded with the words of Chazal and Pirkei Avos. I was smiling because obviously I prepared this before Pesach because I didn't know where I'm going to go. And then I prepared again for tonight's shiur because I always re-prepare. And I saw when I was preparing that he's quoting from Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, which is very nice. It's a real hashkacha because this coming Shabbos, which Perek do we read? Perek Beis, that's exactly right. The Chavetz Chaim responded with the words of the sages in Pirkei Avos. What a Chazal say in Pirkei Avos? Al tomar l'kesha efna eshna shema lo tifana. That's a Yetzer Hara. Don't say, when I have time, I will learn, because then you're never going to make time. You need to say, I'm going to make time. And it's relevant, by the way, to everyone who's part of this Chabura, who carves out the time, set aside a time. Because the HR is very, very strong. And if you say, when I have time, you know what the reality of life is today? You're never going to have time. Because who's not busy today? Everyone is so busy with something. I don't know if they were ever so busy in history. I feel like everyone is so busy, myself included. We're always so busy. We're running from one thing to the other. There's never enough time. So if you say, when I have time, I will study. The Mishnah tells you exactly what's going to happen. Shema. Lo tifana, you're not going to turn to study because you're not going to have any time. It's the wrong thing. You have to say, I'm going to make, you use time to eat. We make time to eat. I'm not talking about a normal person. I'm not talking about chas v'sham, somebody who is suffering from an eating disorder. You make time to use the facilities. You make time to shower. You make time to sleep. Some people sleep 8 hours. Some people sleep six. Some people sleep three. But you make time for things that are important. If you say, I'm going to study when I have time, you're never going to study. Then he went on to explain. Now the Chavetz Chaim continues. Let me give you a parable. So the Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal. It is like a feeble man, like an ill person, a weak person. It is like a weak person who is warned by his doctor not to go to the bathhouse because the heat and perspiration there would be very bad for him and it might very well put his life in danger. This reminds me of a story told over in the Sefer Portraits of Prayer. I have a Sefer called Portraits of Prayer. They actually recently came out with Portraits of Prayer 2, which I didn't get yet. Portraits of Prayer 1 by Rabbi Eliezer El Abish, and he tells the following story. I'm taking a break for the Chavetz Chaim for a minute. He tells of a certain Hasidish Rebbe who caught a cold. And probably in the olden days in Europe, it wasn't like today with central heating and all the warmth that we have. And there's no, in the shtetlach, you know, water running through the streets in the freezing winter. And the certain chassid, incoming rabbi, caught a cold. And the doctor said, you can't go to the mikvah. For the chassidim, it's very important. He's the rabbi. And his father warned him. You, not his father, the current rabbi. Current meaning, I'm going back to Europe, the Altaheim. So all of a sudden, you cannot go to the mikvah, it's forbidden. So he knew that was kibbutz. So one night, or morning, his shamus and a group of talmidim saw the son getting up and getting dressed, and they had a suspicion that he's going to the mikvah. This brought down in Portraits of Prayer, Volume 1, by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. The father said, you're not allowed to go. How could he be going to the mikvah? So the stealth followed him. They saw him get dressed. They saw him walk over to the mikvah. They saw him unclothed, wrap a towel, stand at the top of the step right before the water and say, behold, I am fulfilling the mitzvah of kibbud av aim. He got back dressed. He never went into the water and he went back home. So this way he showed Hashem that he had the ratzon to go, but he got to the top step. He did not immerse in the water. He said, Hini miuchon mezuman, the kai mitzvah do raisa, shal kalbedes avicha vesi mecha, lemanya miuchon yamecha, and he went home. So that's what this parable reminds me of, because it's a person who the doctor tells him, don't go to the bathhouse. Why shouldn't you go to the bathhouse? Because it's hot and people perspire and it's bad for you and it might well put your life in danger. Some time afterward, the man passed by the bathhouse. He was unable to resist. parentheses, homes in that time and place had no facilities for taking baths. So he went in to have a bath. He went in because he couldn't take a shower at home. This is where you had to go if you want to take a bath. He stayed there until he became weak and he started to faint. With every effort he mustered, the last bit of strength, and he ran to the cold mikvah to restore himself in the cold water. To his consternation, he found the door of the mikvah locked. So now he's perturbed. What does he want to do? He didn't listen to the doctor. Now he's passing out. He has a little bit of strength left. So he runs next door to the cold mikvah. He gets out of the bathhouse, the sauna, the schwitz, and he says, the mikvah's locked. He couldn't go inside. He couldn't go outside. He couldn't go inside. He might catch a cold. He doesn't know what to do. In utter despair, he began calling for help. Someone hastened to him immediately and began pouring cold water over his face and chest from a pot. This guy is somehow inside the house. I don't know. Someone heard him screaming, help, help, I need cold water. So one of the balabatim runs out and he starts pouring cold water from this pot, a pan, over his face and chest. Now, says the Chafetz Chaim, remember, he's talking to the former masmid, who's the businessman. He says, it's beneath my dignity to learn a little bit of Mishnayos. Do you think it's likely that this poor, unfortunate person would burst out in complaint against the man who came to his rescue? Would he say, what is this use of a few drops of water from the pot in your hand? What good will that do to me? I want a full-fledged mikvah to cool off my whole body, nothing else. And if I can't have a mikvah, I don't want your water. Says the Chafetz Chaim, he would be a fool to talk like that. His life is in danger. Whatever you could do right now, you should do. A fool who does not realize even a few drops of water will revive a person on the verge of fainting. He's a fool. Do whatever you can now. We spent the first days of Pesach and the first 2 days of Chol Hamoed in Denver. My husband's brother and family live there. We have my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, and family live there. It was the only second time I've been there. The first time was before COVID, the fall before COVID. My husband and I were there for scholar in residence, only for less than 48 hours. It was extremely beautiful and extremely meaningful. Baruch Hashem, it's so nice to be with the family. And Denver's gorgeous. Marbu Masach Hashem, the air, the mountains. I saw the Big Dipper every night. Wow, it's really, could be 20 degrees in the morning and then 60 in the afternoon because you're in the mountains. No, I'm not joking. My sister-in-law has told me in the past, you can never put away any clothes because you don't know, because it's the mountains. No, like literally, if you look at the temperature, it was like 18 and then 60. No, I'm not joking, because it's the mountains. It's really cool. You have to drink a lot of water not to get altitude sickness. Anyway, so on the second day of Chol Hamoed, Monday, we went for a hike. What was it called? Castlewood Canyon, about an hour outside of Denver. It was so gorgeous. Marbu Masach Hashem, Kulam Bechach Masisa Malarz Kinenecha Mamish, unbelievable. In the morning, we hiked the top of the mountain. Then we had lunch at the plateau, like on the ground level. And then after lunch, we did the bottom down all the way to the bottom of the canyon. If you go there and you want to know where it is, I highly recommend it. I'll give you the instructions. So, but the point is that after we had lunch, it was like, obviously, we brought lunch from home. We ate lunch. So my two boys decided to race on the gravel. Like, everyone was having such a fun time on the gravel road. And one of them fell. Baruch Hashem, he didn't fall when we were on the top because it was cliffs. The morning was, no, there was easy, moderate, and difficult. The morning hike was the difficult hike. And it was mamish cliffs and huge boulders and caves and rocks. So if someone had to fall, thank God it was on the gravel. So he was pretty badly banged up. Baruch Hashem, nothing broken, no stitches. Anyway, it was very, very bad. Okay, so I saw and I said, I think we have to go home. Like, you know, forget the second hike. You need wash yourself off. You need ointment. You need polysporin. So he was very upset that I think I said he have to go home. The trip's going to be ruined. So he had such a good idea. I mean, my boys are 17. They're not little, so little. 17, he said he was really bad. His torso, his back, his elbow, his palm, his whole leg. Like, it was very extensive. He was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and he fell on the gravel. Okay. So he said, maybe the visitor center has first aid station. And we came in from two different ends of the park, but my father-in-law happened to have a map that he got at the visitor center. And there was a phone number, so my husband called the visitor center. It was my son's idea, and he said, my son fell. Do you have first aid? It's a huge park, huge state park. So they said, tell us where you are, by which trail. and we will send a park ranger to you. It'll take about 15 minutes. The park ranger will come. There's a reason I'm telling you this. So they told us to keep going because my son did not want a whole show and he didn't want everybody watching when the park ranger showed up and being treated with first aid. He was sweating, bleeding, whatever. Okay. So he said everyone should go. And my husband will wait with him. And when the park ranger comes, they'll take care of him. So my husband took a few pictures. He posted. And my son said she was great. She had a gun, but no polysporin. And he saw the pictures. She had all her weapons. They said to her, what are you doing with a gun? No polysporin. Well, that's my point. What did she have? She had some large bandages with like skin tape. So she was able to cover them with the bandages. She checked. She said, you don't need stitches. I thought maybe he did, but Baruch Hashem is okay. She said, you don't need stitches. You'll be okay till you get home. When you get home, make sure you take a very warm bath. You have to clean off all these scrapes from all the dirt and the gravel. And then you could put on polysporin ointment and cover them with gauze. She had something. That's my point. She had, I could show you the picture. No, but I'm saying she had like gauze bandages and blue like body tape to wrap around. She had something. So would you say in such a situation, I don't want anything? No, you wouldn't. You would say, I'm going to take what you have. And that's exactly what we did. I'm going to take what you have. That's what the Chavetz Chaim says. A fool doesn't realize a few drops of cold water will revive a person on the verge of fainting. If you have nothing, and the park ranger has gauze and tape to wrap around them, she says it'll protect you till you get home, you're going to take it. You're not going to say no. This has a spiritual mashal, a spiritual nimshal, not mashal. That's the mashal, even though that's a real story. This has a spiritual nimshal. The same point applies here, said the Chavetz Chaim, to this former masmid, who now said, it's beneath me to learn a little bit of Torah. We know the sages compare the Torah to water. Avodah Zarah 5b, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. My sister-in-law had in the car, you know, you have those like water bottles that you didn't drink, like, you know, the like Poland Spring water bottles that have like this much left or that much left that no one drank. So we realized we hadn't really taken enough water. It was warmer than we thought because the morning was cold. So, but then she said, oh, I have the water. So we were able to wash off a little of them before the ranger came. We know that the sages compare Torah to water. Of course, when someone studies Torah in great abundance, he is metaphorically, said the Chavetz Chaim, building himself an entire mikvah. Mikvah represents the 40 seah of water. A mikvah represents new life. A ger goes down, not Jewish. That's why I was just reading something about when a ger makes a bracha. I just read this. He has to make the bracha after tevilah. Why? Because before tevilah,
he's not a Jew.
He's not a Jew. Isn't that interesting? Before tevilah, he has to make the... Before tevilah, he can't make the bracha. And therefore, in the case of the ger, it's the opposite order. He has to make it, usually make a bracha before you go, before you do a mitzvah. In this case, that's when we make a bracha, before we do a mitzvah. Well, yeah?
We say al atilas yadayim.
I can't hear, I'm sorry.
When we say al atilas yadayim.
I can't hear.
When we say al atilas yadayim.
Okay, very nice, but I think that's because your hands are tummy, so it has the same idea. You're a Jew, of course we're Jewish, but maybe you can't make the bracha in the state of tumah. First you have to be metaher. No?
You always make the bracha beforehand. The only reason that he couldn't make it beforehand is because he couldn't say asher kiddushanu b'mitzot v'tzivanu because he wasn't Jewish yet.
Right.
Before, not after.
He can make it before.
No, all of you look to die and you make it
before.
No.
Oh,
before,
you're right.
You make it.
But I think it has to do with Tumah. Because you before, because in the morning, 1 second, when you say Moda Ani, 1 second, when you say Moda Ani, Neres Chanukah, we say before, the bracha before we lay Chanukah lecht.
Shabbos, because you're accepting
Shabbos.
Shabbos, you can't light the candles on Shabbos, but I'll tell you something very interesting. I'm not a posek, but my daughter married a Sephardi. No, I'm being serious. They make the bracha on Shabbos after she lights the Shabbos candles. Many, many halachas are different. Many, many halachas are very, very different. Besides the fact that she was eating kinyos. What?
You mean she makes it before?
Yes, what do? We make it after?
Yeah, we make it after.
She makes it before. Yeah. When you eat, you make a bracha before. When we take off Rosh Hashanah, we make the bracha before. When we lay Chanukah, we make the bracha before. I think on the Tilas Adayim is because you can't say Shem Hashem in the morning before you've done on the Tilas Adayim. Mo Dani doesn't have Shem Hashem in it. I can't hear. That's true, but it's not a bracha on a davar mitzvah. It's a bracha shavach, really. Okay, let's go. Why am I talking about this? Because I mentioned a mikvah, and I just read somewhere an interesting halacha that a ger has to make, oh my gosh, 9:13, that a ger has to make a bracha after, which makes so much sense. Why? Because he's not a yid before. I just thought that was so interesting. Okay, now let's finish this. When someone studies Torah in great abundance, he builds himself a complete mikvah of cold water. He's able to cool down completely the fire of the evil inclination that burns within him. So the more you fortify yourself with Torah, the more you fortify yourself with Torah, the more you are going to be able to cool down the flames of the Yetzer Hara. And at the same time, it can even extinguish the fire of Gehenim. The more a person learns Torah, he can annul any stern justice that may face him in the Olam HaEmes. Yet if it should happen that for a period of time, a person is unable to devote himself industriously to Torah study. So again, we're talking about a Ben Yeshiva who sits for 10 hours, 12 hours learning. But let's say something comes up and he can't. Is that a reason for him to reject a few drops of water that he can have poured over him? Meaning, said the Chavetz Chaim, if you could learn a page or two of Talmud, an Amud or a Yomi, an Amud or a Daf a day, should you not do it because you can't do 5 hours? What would you say? Of course you should learn what you can. You shouldn't cut yourself off totally. If you can learn a chapter of Mishnayos, or like Mishnah Yomi, learn two Mishnayos, should you not learn anything because you can't learn a whole Masachta, these are a whole Seder Mishnais. These drops can also cool off a bit of the fire of the evil inclination. Going back to the Ma'amar Chazal, we quoted at the same time, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. So whatever amount of Torah you learn is still an antidote to the Yetzirah. You should learn something, even if you can't learn everything. And it should be a big chizuk for all of us, because everyone who takes the time to participate in Shir, you're really being mechazik yourself in the battle against your Yetzirah. And you shouldn't think, I can't do it. The Al Tomer, Perk Beis, Perk Avos, whatever you can do, you have to do. And therefore, these impassioned words from the worried heart of the Chavetz Chaim entered the former student's heart. He made a firm resolve never to miss a regular period of study, which goes back to what I said. The Gemara says, on Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph, the question is, Kavata itim Torah. It's not, did you learn for 20 hours a day and sleep for four and, you know, eat one meal and use the facilities? Kavati itim. Is there kavias in your schedule? The most important thing is to maintain kavias, because that's where the Yetzer Hara wants to throw off. Because once you get thrown off a little, everybody knows how hard it is to get back on track. And he said he took to making every possible effort to take time away from hours of business to revive his study of learning Torah. So Baruch Hashem, we finished the piece. And we finished contemplation when approaching Torah study. So now we're on the next page, which is called clarifying each ratzon in the mixture. Baruch Hashem. So the neshama of Miriam, from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, she should be a melitz yoshara for all of us, and our family, of course. Have an aliyah neshama, a zechira letova. We should have a gin chaydesh iyar, ani Hashem, rofa ach Hashem, should give us the kochos to maintain our commitment and grow ever higher. And a good Shabbos. So nice to be back. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras tovos. Thank you.